This is where Texas politics gets interesting. Here again are two guys named Jason, some great guests, and cold Texas beer for another smart conversation on Y'allitics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.
Hey, so Wheeler, I'm glad you could join us for this podcast, man. It seems like we always have to wait on you for a minute, man. You finally got back from the nail salon. Let's see your nails.
The funny thing is that you had to wait on me once again to start this one, didn't you?
Always, you know, man. But seriously, show us your nails. Let's see your nails.
You don't want to see them. They're pretty bad. Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
That's unusual for you to lose your train of thought, man. You're distracted today in this episode. What's going on?
I am distracted. It's called having too many burners on at the same time and trying to cook way too many things. And what you end up doing is undercooking or burning all of it.
Right. Well, let me get things going here. I think.
Yes, please.
We should have done this. Every so often, there's a podcast that really lends itself to getting on the road and going. This is the podcast I think we made a mistake on.
Yeah.
By doing
what
via
were we
Zoom.
Thinking?
We should have spent some of the vast beer budget that we have at Y'allitics for a southbound ticket and gone down to interview this guy in person. I would have loved to have done that. It would have been, I'm sure, you know, steaming hot, but still.
Yeah.
When you guys see this, if you're watching this, when you see this character we're interviewing today, I mean, this guy is, when you think of Texas, he is Texas through and through.
And if you're not watching this, you know, maybe consider pausing it in its audio only form and trying out something new and watching the podcast on YouTube, because we do have our own YouTube page there. All you got to do is Google Y'allitics YouTube. It'll take you right to it. And you can actually see it as you hear it, which a lot of people apparently like. They get into that.
And this guy, when you see this guy that we're about to interview, a guy named Jesse Fuentes, you will see what we're talking about, how Texas this guy is. So I'm sure everyone's seen the news by this point. Last couple of weeks, Governor Abbott has deployed a brand new countermeasure to go after the undocumented immigrants coming across the Rio Grande. You know, he had the gunboats. I think Rick Perry put the gunboats out there on the Rio Grande a few years back. Now there's the razor wire that's all over the place. Governor Abbott has flooded the border area with state troopers. Well, the latest little trick they're putting down there is big, giant orange balls, big buoys, 1,000-foot stretch of them that they're dragging around to these high trafficked areas to try to cut down on people going across the river and getting them back on some of the international bridges, the 29 international bridges that we have. If they're going to declare asylum, might as well declare asylum on the bridge instead of coming across on the river.
Yeah, you know, and this all, of course, is going on in the background. This is one of many controversies down at the border right now, just here in the past several days. Don't know how closely everybody's been watching the news as to what's been happening on the border. Texas, the Governor Abbott in particular, has made the border a top priority. The state has been spending billions of dollars down there to try to stop the flow of immigrants coming in, which is, of course, a federal responsibility. But the state is spending its own trove of cash on that. And just in the past couple of days, there have been reports coming out now that are being investigated by the state that a trooper sent an email to a supervisor. And here was the line that really stood out in that email. "I believe we have stepped over a line into the inhumane." Some allegations coming from that trooper that, again, are being looked into now by the state of Texas. There have been some problems with that razor wire down there, badly injuring people who are coming across the river. And then you add in on top of that now these buoys that have been floated out in the middle of the river by the state, at least in that one section. Beto O'Rourke, of course, who former congressman from here in Texas, also former candidate for Senate on the Democratic side, has come out in the past couple of days saying there is one person who has the power to stop Abbott. He tweeted, "Stop him from deploying razor wire and medieval drowning devices designed to ensnare and mutilate." And then he says, "Mr. President, we need you to act." So this was a message straight to President Biden from Beto O'Rourke on Twitter.
Yeah, and we haven't seen President Biden say anything on this yet. And I guarantee you, Governor Abbott would love nothing more than some type of public political clash with President Biden over this. So it's kind of tricky for both sides to handle that. Here's what people don't get about the Rio Grande and about South Texas, just the Rio Grande in general. If you watch cable news or if you scroll through Twitter, you're probably scared to death and think this is really a militarized area. It is still very much a place that people go and picnic, people go and fish, people go and hang out on the river like you would any river anywhere in this state. People still enjoy the river despite all this stuff. And that's who our guest is today. So when Governor Abbott decided to deploy these latest buoys out there on the river, he put them in a place called Eagle Pass. You may have heard of Eagle Pass. It's kind of just as Texas goes from the tip of Texas down there in the Brownsville areas, it starts to climb up past Laredo. You have cities like Eagle Pass and then Del Rio. Then you get into Big Bend. Eagle Pass is a small little area. It's known for cliffs, gigantic cliffs on the U.S. side of the Rio Grande. It's a gorgeous area. And that's also an area right now where, you know, Customs and Border Patrol says we're seeing a lot of people come across the river right there. That's why Governor Abbott put the 1,000-foot buoys right there. It's also an area where our next guest, you know, makes his livelihood. Guy named Jesse Fuentes. He's the owner of Epi's Canoe and Kayak Team down there. And when these buoys have gone in, along with the concertina wire over on the river coast over there, and all kinds of other measures that the governor's put out, this has really impacted his business. So he's going to court over this. He filed a lawsuit against Governor Abbott. We decided to call him up in Eagle Pass, and here's what he told us. Jesse, thanks for being with us here. Many people really only know the border from what politicians are tweeting about and talking about or what they see on cable news. And they probably think it's some type of a military state. But I've been down to Eagle Pass before. For people who haven't been there, can you explain what it's like every day, the cliffs down there, kind of what the river is like on a daily basis?
Sure thing. First of all, thank you for this opportunity. I appreciate you gentlemen allowing me to speak. Life in Eagle Pass is culturally inclined. The river connects both Eagle Pass and Mexico. Historically, there's always been a peaceful existence between Piedras Negras, Coahuila, Mexico, and Eagle Pass, Texas. So peacefully that, you know, sometimes people just walk across the river to visit friends and back and forth. And this has been our tradition, our history for as long as Eagle Pass has been here, since 1849. And me personally, what I enjoy is this is the river that I grew up on, that we went out and fished, that we went out and swam, and we went out and did a lot of cool things. And but what really, you know, on a day-to-day basis, it's hard to, what I see happening is hard to understand what we're going through. You know, before this, what I see as a militarization of the park area that I used to access with my my canoes and kayaks, it was peaceful. There was a peaceful coexistence between my company and the U.S. government, the Border Patrol. We'd meet out there. We'd have right river etiquette, left, right. I mean, everything was perfect. But then when the state moved in, it just one thing led to another, to another, to another, to another, and to another. When I saw them bulldoze one of my favorite islands in the middle of the river, I said, that's enough. That's enough. The river needs to be represented here. What you're doing to our community, to my livelihood, that's enough.
Well, why did they bulldoze the island, Jesse?
They bulldozed the island, I believe, to use it as a staging point to float those buoys down. And you can check my website, Epi's Canoe Kayak Team. You'll see the last video on there is you'll see a pristine, beautiful, clear island where the river flows left of it and right of it. And, you know, basically I would use the site adjacent to our site, to the American side, to bring all my kayak tours through there. It's gone. It's been bulldozed. There's concertina wires. There's Humvees. It's incredible. And that's a federally protected river. It's protected by so many treaties, by so many agencies, by so many acts. I mean, by the International Boundary Water Commission. I mean, it goes back to the Rio Grande 1968 Scenic and Wilds and Rivers Act. It was one of the six rivers on there. I mean, I just can't believe, I mean, before you touch anything in the river, you have to conduct an environmental study. You have to get permissions. You have to speak to the Army Corps of Engineers. But no, overnight, boom, it was gone. And that's what really, really upset me, because I'm an advocate for the river. All this is about the river and our area and our culture and our history and what we've grew up with. I mean, how would anybody like it if your state government went into your particular community and put up five different barriers and just disallow you from accessing what you grew up with? I don't think anybody would appreciate that. And I mean, I'm excited about this because, you know, I know it's bringing attention to something that needs to be said. I don't like where things are going. It me personally, as it has affected the community, but the community is our administration is shell-shocked by what they said happened, but that's their opinion. I respect that. But, you know, in my particular sense, I'm just one little guy going up an excessively overreaching state government. It is just incredible. I figure if you're going to do some commentary about the border, you got to come visit it. You got to come ride it. You got to come experience those twists and turns. You got to come talk to the people that live here and that have to put up with what's going on. And believe me, before the state government showed up, there was a very good system in place. You know, there was a very good system.
And so Jesse, you mentioned though that you're one guy taking on all of this. You're the first one out of the chute here filing a lawsuit to try to stop this. You mentioned treaties and laws and the federal government, and yet you're the one guy sort of leading the effort. What do you make of that no one else jumped to the forefront on that?
Well, you know what? There's always a situation where, you know, for particular reasons, individuals, administrations, certain organizations are afraid with the climate that exists nowadays where, and believe me, I'm not afraid. I've been getting calls from all over the country. They don't like me all over.
Who's calling you? What are they saying?
If you could hear it, but it's very explicit. They're saying a lot of incredible things. Uninformed individuals, that's what I call them. I'm not calling them anything else. I feel that if you're going to speak about something, you better know what you're saying. And for me personally, I grew up on that river. I work on that river. I know every twist and turn for 35 miles in Maverick County. And I can put anyone out there and I can tell you where you're going to have fun, where you're going to get into trouble, and how beautiful it is. But, you know, for anybody else to speak about the river without being on it or what's happening to it, it's incredible. I mean, lines of concertina wire, not only next to the bank, but you have these container cars lined up right after that. Then you have concertina wire on top of that. And then about a 3/4 of a mile back, you have a 14-foot high wall that goes for almost 2 miles and it has electronic gates. And now there's a barrier in the river. Come on, man. I mean, that first barrier, that federal barrier, was built back in between 2007 and 2010. And the city, our city administration at that time, led by Mr. Chad Foster, he fought him. He fought. We lost. But God, ever since then, everything has been going crazy. I mean, the pandemic changed a lot of things, right? I mean, I had a beautiful relationship with the city, with the community. Everybody wanted to get in the water. It was a positive thing. When the state showed up, it just, if I may say my perspective, it created a, and today, if you go out there and see it for yourself, it looks like a turf war, a turf war between not immigrants and law enforcement, between federal agencies and state agencies. They're like battling each other, and I'm going, what? And this guy won't speak to me, and that guy won't speak to me, and the Homeland Security won't speak, and state, and no, don't cut that wire. Don't cut that wire. That's our property. I'm telling a Border Patrolman that's trying to take this individual out, and you're going, what's going on here? And you know who's suffering in between? The community.
And Jesse, you're yes, talking sir. About the state showing up. Obviously, you're talking about, you know, the Department of Public Safety, the DPS yes, troopers and yes, game sir. Wardens and all types yes. of law enforcement yes. from across the state that yes, Governor Abbott has sent down there. But these buoys now are the latest barrier going in the water. There's 1,000 feet of them that are being dropped right in the middle of the Rio Grande. They are the latest barrier. You have, like you said, you have the border fence, you have the razor wire on the actual beach there, the edge of the water, and now these buoys over in the water. Governor Abbott clearly thinks these are going to be a wall in the water and are going to stop people. But explain what this will do to your business.
Well, in the first place, you know, anything that's unnatural doesn't belong in a river. and those buoys, if you don't, and I'll tell you, there was a young lady that grew up here, and she's a PhD. She's a fluvial geomorphologist. That is a river expert. She conducted a study as to how walls affect the sedimentary buildup and the flow of water when it comes through our Rio Grande in our particular area. And believe me, what's happening right now is setting us up for a catastrophic event. Because none of those boxcars are tied down. None of that concertina wire is going to hold, because when the river gets mad, it gets mad. But as far as affecting me, I don't have access. I can't access my public boat ramp. I mean, and that's the boat ramp that I've always used. That's where I launch my tours. That's where I launch my classes. That's where I put people in the river. That's where I show them the beauty of our. And they can't see the beauty of our city, because from the water you can't see anything. It's a terrible view from the water.
And what are you asking a judge to do, Jesse? What do you want a judge to do?
I'm asking the judge to provide a temporary, if not a permanent, injunction to get those or to stop those buoys. We have to change our strategy now, because they're already in the river, and depressing that's there, because it doesn't serve a point, and it's going to hinder the way the river flows. It's going to change it, and nobody can tell me wrong, because I've seen the changes in that river. When it floods, when it rolls, that water moves fast, brings down a lot of debris. The watershed is tremendous. It is a tremendous watershed, not only from our side, but from the Mexican side. When that river floods, all that stuff, everything's going to be missiles, basically. And nothing's going to stay in the middle. No matter how deep you put it, no matter how strong you think it is, that water is strong. And
I've actually been to Eagle Pass to cover flooding on the Rio Grande. Yeah. And spectacular what that river can do when it receives enough water into it. What would you say if the governor said, hey, you know, we're talking about 1,000 feet here. I've just got 1,000 feet worth of buoys out there. You've got miles and miles to work with. Maybe go around it. What would you say to that?
I would say, you know, I've been very tolerant for the last 2 years. And I've seen that we had a beautiful park, public park. And over the last 2 years, I've been forced to move my business. I've been forced to put up with concertina wire first. And then I was forced to put up with these containers, box cars there. And now you're telling me there's another barrier. And then to which he says, and we can add miles and miles to it. I'm going,
his tweet about this actually ended with the phrase "more to come," which I guess is probably not very.
Settling for you. You should know. I mean, you appear to be a very educated gentleman. you should know that.
Oh, don't read too much in. Hey, Jesse, don't read too much into Wheeler there.
Wow, listen, we come across well on Zoom then, huh?
You forgot to introduce my favorite beer, man.
Oh, you brought a beer. What are you having?
It is Lone Star.
Awesome. Old school, man.
Yeah, it is old school. I go way back. Anyways, the government, our suit basically says that the state government does not have any jurisdiction in an area that belongs to federal enforcement. Let the federal agencies do their job. Right now, everybody's running into each other. There's like a head on every person that you can get. Depends who gets to them first. There's a lot of unhappy individuals. And I'm telling you this because I've had conversations with people that are there and that are involved, and they don't like it. They don't like it either. The guard doesn't like being here. The troopers don't like being here. But you know, that's where our governor is sending them. And there's soldiers camped under the International Bridge. I mean, you can't get anywhere. They're on Humvees. They're in the air. It's a military zone. All I want to do is get on the river. All I want to do is get people to enjoy the natural beauty of this majestic waterway. And I'm having a very hard time with that. And when they tore down that island, that really PO'd me. And I'm there, and if I can bring attention to the situation through speaking to you gentlemen, if you have any questions, any concerns, I mean, I've got a lot of ideas, but who am I? I'm just a river rider.
No, you know? a river rider. That's pretty good. But you know, Jesse, people don't realize how pretty it is from Big Bend all the way down to Brownsville. People listening to this though might say, hey, you know, that's great, Jesse, but we got to have security. We got to know who's coming across our border if they're not coming across at ports of entry. I always like talking to someone on the border and have a resident, a lifelong resident like yourself, explain the reality of what's going on down there. The DPS director, Steve McCraw, he said that the buoys are going to deter migrants from swimming across. And he told the Houston Chronicle that when the migrants see these giant orange buoys in the water, they won't even attempt to get into the river. When they erected fencing, I remember the same thing. And what happened? They started putting ladders up or going to places, the edges, where there wasn't any fencing. What's the reality with the buoys? Do you expect people to go around it, to go under it? Is it going to be a pit stop for swimmers? What do you expect?
I'll be honest with you. I honestly think it's just a ploy. You know, it's a ploy because, I mean, you can put anything you want in the middle of the river, anything. That river is our whole border there. I mean, like I said, I've been on it on 35 miles, you know. Where they placed that, you know, why they placed it there, you know, how they studied it. It's very easily to be avoided. You know, it doesn't need to be there. It's not going to serve a purpose. I just think it's like anything else. And I will be honest with you. Of course, immigration is a boom. You know, our hotels are full with soldiers, with troopers from Florida, from everywhere. I mean, I'm pretty sure our city administration loves that. But you know what? What's really happening is that it's the beginning of something bigger. And I keep up. I mean, I see what the governor's doing, trying to create his own, Border Patrol, trying to create a border SAR position. I'm going, it's not going to get any easier for us to access that river.
Well, let me ask you though, to make sure I'm clear. Do you think the buoys are going to move people to other sectors? Because the Del Rio sector where Eagle Pass is, Del Rio sector for Customs and Border Patrol, is the second busiest now, just right behind El Paso. You guys have passed the Rio Grande sector a little farther down river there. Do you expect these buoys are going to stop people from coming across and drop those numbers?
No. Not one bit. All they're going to do is they're going to be a hindrance to the flow of the river. And debris is going to get caught on them. Anything, like I said, anything that's in the, that's not natural, put in the river, it's going to be a hindrance. If you try to attach anything in the center of that river, it's going to be a problem.
I'm curious, Jesse, because you're down there every day. You know, you're on that water surface all the time. You know, we hear a lot about, you know, the numbers of illegals coming in, and a lot of those are over bridges or, you know, in different ways, maybe not necessarily swimming through a river. You know, critics, you know, have said that, you know, this is just basically a show, you know, putting on, you know, for the base out there to put these buoys out there because you can't miss it. What do you see, though, every day? I mean, you already had all of these layers of security as it was. And as you mentioned, tons and tons of officers from the state and federal government down there. What do you see as far as crossings through the river go as a guy who's on that river every day?
I could tell you that one time I took a documentary film producer for a 24-mile run. And 24 miles on that river, the American side, not a single soul, not a single soul. 24 miles on the Mexican side, you see people fishing. You see people swimming in the river. You even see people netting fish. You see people having barbecues. You see people, and they're willing to talk to you. Our documentarian had conversations with them. You know, it's a stigma from this side that the river is a villain, you know, that you're not allowed to get close to it. And that the people that are coming at us from that side are all villains. You could stand out there for hours and you might see one or two or three immigrants. You're not going to see hordes. You're not going to see militias. You're not going to see mules packed with backpacks of drugs or anything like that. You're not going to see that. It's a story that's being blown out of proportion. My grandpa used to take supplies into Mexico on his burro. There used to be a ferry boat that was back and forth. People, I mean, if you don't live here, you don't know here, you know? But all the people that have been leaving me messages, boy, they, you know what they're telling me? That, oh God, I can't get into it. It's just so crazy. But
even with the big numbers, though, that we've been seeing of people, you know, detained at the border, you're not seeing that necessarily on the river itself every day.
No, sir. No, sir. I mean, and you know, immigration is fluid, and it's not just an issue in Texas. It's global. People are relocating because of climate, because of drought, because of wars, because of damage to their terrain. It's happening everywhere. I've lived on the border for a long time, and I've seen peaks and I've seen lows. And you can talk to a border patrolman and ask him, what does he do all day? He sits and watches, you know, or he goes up a trail. Or, I mean, it's one of the loneliest jobs ever because you just got to watch. And before the state came in and did all this, there was an incredible technology system here. And I know where they're all at, all their cameras, all their sensors, everything. I mean, nothing gets by unless you let them get by. All this thing about open borders, what? This is one of the most secure borders in all of America because of the technology, the stuff in the air, the people, and the privacy of property. And it just, you know, all this has been blown out of proportion. And who's suffering? I think that one location, Shelby Park, my business, the community, you know, maybe, like I said, there's positive things to it. I have a lot of ideas. I've met with previous administration as to what we can do to make this situation a little bit more tenable. We could light it up. There's a road right next to the river for about 30 miles. We can pave it. We can light it. We can put fishing stations there. We can make it a nice place instead of a war zone. You know, we don't. Yes, go ahead.
No, just to reiterate what you said for our listeners who haven't been to any stretch of the border, the U.S.-Mexico border is one of the most secure borders on the planet, not just in the United States, on the planet. I mean, having been to the South Korea, North Korea border, I'm like, you know what? You guys could learn something from Customs and Border Patrol and from DPS.
It's
one of the most. And to reiterate what you said about Customs and Border Patrol and probably DPS and National Guard now and there. It is a very lonely job. I've been out with those guys. Wheeler's been out with those guys probably multiple times over the last 20 years. And you sit you sit and wait. I'm like, what are we going to do next? Oh, we sit here with the lights off. It's jet black all around us. Yeah. You just absolutely sit and wait. Here's my last thing for you. I always love talking to folks on the border. Jesse, my last question is, what do you want people to know about border life and how it's changed with the state getting so involved down there? And adding the razor wire, adding the troopers, adding the game wardens, adding the gunboats, adding the buoys. What do you want folks to know about the border?
That the perception that they have of the border that's being put out by the state is not necessarily true. And I'd invite you. I'll put you in. Come on over. I'll take you down the river. It might be a long trip because they won't access. They don't let me access our only city public land. But I tell you what, big misconception about what it is to live on the border. I've raised my family here. My dad raised me. His dad raised. I mean, it's a culture. Just as normal things are, like the celebration of cultures all around our country. You know, from the Ozarks to the Catskills to all over the place. Everybody has their own particular cultural area. There's a German part to Texas. There's a Asian part to Texas. There's from every nationality. We just happen to be on the border, and man, it's bad to get picked on the way we're getting picked on. Because, you know, like I told you, I'm a Texan too. You know,
and he holds up the Lone Star to prove it. Lone Star beer. Jess, before we let you go, I just wanted to ask you, you know, the state has indicated that they are doing this because of safety. Last year, you know, it's not just the river. There's, you know, desert out there and all that as well. Last year, they say, was the deadliest, immigrants crossing that we've seen in recent years. Will this help ultimately with safety, though, do you think? What do you envision?
As far as the buoys are concerned, I think it's an impediment. It's a hindrance in the middle of the river, and I don't know how desperate people are, but I tell you what, they travel thousands of miles on foot, and they want a better life, and when they see that water, they don't know the river, they don't know how it flows, and you know, but some type of desperation that these migrants have, they're gonna attempt it, and I don't think that buoy will discourage anybody. That buoy system won't discourage anybody from coming over, because it's historic. People are gonna migrate. You know, it's gonna happen. We just know how to, as a country, need to come together and figure out what we're gonna do to make sure that we solve this issue. There's a lot of hesitation everywhere, you know, and there's a lot of impediments within our own government that want to use this as a staging point for launching, political faction stories and support. But we live here. This is our community. You need to respect it and respect our river and tell the true story, you know, like you guys are doing right now with me. I'm here. I can tell you. I mean, yeah, I feel under siege. You can't go anywhere without Florida cars or Texas cars or National Guards everywhere. Do we need that? I don't think so. I think the federal government was doing a good enough job, but that's just my opinion. But I see that what's happened is affecting me personally and my business. So if I could figure a way to bring that to the governor's attention, then, and this is how we can do it, then, you know, I'm for it, and hopefully we'll get some good results, and maybe if people listen to our conversation, they'll understand that there's a lot more to it, and you gotta really come down here and experience it for yourself and see it for yourself, and you can make all the commentary you want and think whatever you want or take whatever information you hear, but make an informed decision. Come on down and listen to us and talk to us and visit with us. And like I said, if you need to, I'll put you in so you can see it for yourself. The beauty, it's there. Well, so
Wheeler and I need to do that, Jesse. We've both been to Eagle Pass. We both know how gorgeous it is there. I'm sure Wheeler's been across Piedras Negras as well, but yeah. It's a gorgeous area. I want to return. And when I do, Get some Lone Star beer in a cooler and let's go out on the river here.
I like that.
Yeah, I've been wondering this whole time, like, why are we doing this on Zoom? We should have been in one of your boats doing this.
I've got a great expedition canoe that'll handle us and your equipment, your gear. I mean, everything.
We didn't think this went through, Jesse.
Hey, maybe. We appreciate it, man. Stay in touch.
Thank you.
Let us know how things go too. And all the best to you down there. Hope you can get that city's only boat ramp reopened for you and start taking people back out in the river soon.
Thank you. Appreciate you, gentlemen. Nice to hear from you.
Thank you, Jesse.
Click subscribe and get Y'all-itics every week. Y'all-itics, the unofficial political podcast of Texas.